To those of you who come to me this morning and you said, listen, I've been praying for your friend, Captain T.R. Alexander, and his daughter, Lauren, in the death of their wife and mom this past week. We had over 500 people at that funeral this past Wednesday. It was truly an incredible, incredible celebration. And as I said to those folks, I say to you, how do people handle stuff like this without a faith in God? You know? It made all the difference in the world to know that Melanie was absent from this body and present with the Lord. And you remember T.R. this morning and Lauren, and I thank you so much for you allowing me and Connie to spend that time with them. As so many of Cobb Police were available to him as well. And folks, those guys hurt and cry just like we all do. And thank God for you all. Thank you for praying for them. And thank you for praying for me and Connie during that time as we minister to our dear, dear friend. You know, folks, this morning, God never promised me and you, as a child of God, that life wouldn't be easy. God promised us a safe landing, but he doesn't promise a calm passage. The days that we live in are troubled. We have troubled hearts, but this morning, simply, I just want to show you from the Word of God what it means to have victory over the troubled heart. Now, last week we looked at John 14, relief for the troubled heart. How can our hearts be relieved? But this one, today, David tells us through the Psalm, this is the way you do it. This is how you have victory, no matter what's going on in your life. Even though the world is going haywire around you, even though you don't understand, just like Doug has just sung, though you can't figure it out, God's in control, and he'll see to it, folks. Hope your Bibles are open to Psalm chapter 40, three very short but incredible verses. From the Holman Christian Standard Bible, listen, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry for help. He brought me from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay, and he set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. Wow. And then the memory verse, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And because of that, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Then I came across the New Living Translation, and I want to read that translation, that scripture to you from that translation. Just listen. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of my despair, out of the mud and out of the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me. I love that. As I walked along. He's given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he's done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. There are five biblical principles, biblical precepts of what it means to have victory over the troubled heart. Very simple, and here they are. The first one is found in verse 1. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me. He inclined to me in the New King James Translation. And he heard my cry of help. If you are going to have victory over your troubled heart, you simply must make prayer your priority. It can't be just something you do in the morning and night. It's got to be a lifestyle. A lifestyle of being completely open. The Bible says, look at verse 1, he heard my cry for help. That word in the Hebrew is a word we pronounce somewhat like shawah. And it means a cry of anguish. It means a cry of the oppressed who need help. It means a cry of someone who is approaching the breaking point. Trust me, folks, I've been around that situation this past week. And I've seen those tears of a breaking point. And I've seen prayer as the priority as a person in a person's life. David was down. He was depressed. He's at his breaking point. And the Bible says that he is crying out to God. Folks, when you get to that point, or long before you ever get to that point, the first thing you do, consult God. Pray to him. Many times God is the last one we consult. We try to take care of it on our own. But the scripture says, through the example of the psalmist, we are to consult God through prayer. And folks, what this word cry here is, means it's called, what I call that get on your face before God kind of praying. It's serious praying to God. It's living. It's those words that you can't put into words for God. It is that type of prayer. It's a prayer of the heart. It is a prayer whereby we live our life 24/7, being so vigilant we can listen for how God will speak to us. God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through circumstances. He simply speaks. We must listen. You remember Jesus as He cried out to His Father on the eve of His death on the cross. He was praying alone. His heart was troubled. And He prayed with such passion, don't you remember, that blood sweat from His brow. Literally a medical term called hematidrosis, whereby the veins can expand and allow that to happen as well. He was in such agony. And what did Jesus do? He cried out to His Father. That's what Jesus would do. I think we ought to pattern our life after what Jesus did. Would you all agree? Make prayer your priority. That's the first thing. Now, the second part of this is found also in verse 1. And here's what you need to do. The second thing, be willing to wait patiently on God. First part of verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. Folks, we are not a waiting generation. We live in a world of instant gratification. Waiting is not one of our virtues. And to make matters worse, the Bible says that for victory to come to the troubled heart, we not only have to wait, we got to wait what? Patiently. Wow, you're kidding. How does one wait patiently? The word wait, and actually the phrase, wait patiently, in the Hebrew is one word, kawa. Doesn't sound anything like we would even imagine it to be. Oftentimes the Hebrew in the writing, one word, one little word can mean many words in the English language. And here's one of those cases. The word wait patiently, if you translate it literally in the English, that word means waiting, comma, I wait. It's kind of described like the child getting the toy he's most wanted for a long time. Or it's like the teenager. I remember when I got the very first car I ever owned. My dad bought it from Bill MacArthur at Anderson Chevrolet, a 1955 Chevrolet that he bought for something around $600. Can you imagine today? So after you sought God through prayer, you and I as believers are commanded in Scripture to patiently wait. And look at the promise of God at the last part of that verse. The Bible says God heard us. That word is inclined. He inclined Himself to us. You can't see this in the English, but in the Hebrew, the word incline means stretch as far as you can stretch. It's a commercial, and I'm not advertising what they're at. I think it's some type of granola bar on TV. But the guy is laying in the hammock, and his wife is over there watching him, and he's reaching, trying to get this granola bar, and he tries to swing, and his hand is going right this far, like that. I'm so glad God reaches to me like that. He's there. Without a doubt, God says, be willing to wait patiently on me. And don't worry, Randy, my hand is going to be stretched out tightly to get you. You just grab it. I'm not going to let you go. The third principle this morning out of five. The third principle of making sure that we have victory over our troubled heart is found in verse 2. And here it is. Trust God's action in your life. Trust God's action in your life. Look at this. He brought me up from the desolate pit out of the muddy or miry clay, and He set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. God's the one's going to bring you up. Man can't do it, folks. God's going to be the one to see to it. Man can't. There's a point at which we must come to realize that you and I cannot do this stuff alone. It is God who acts. The troubled heart becomes overwhelming to us. And the Bible says, He brought me up from that desolate pit. That pit that seems to go down far and far and far and far. You remember Corrie ten Boom in the book, The Hiding Place? You remember her favorite statement? There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. Let me tell you, how many times have we gone through times like that we needed to hear that? The Bible says that God has brought us up. He will take care of us. It is His action now. He's got a hold of the rope. Some people say when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Y'all remember that statement? Well, I have an addendum to that. Tie a knot in it, hang on, because God's got a hold of the other end. Makes all the difference in the world. Trust God. That old miry clay he's talking about. You remember my story about the caverns in McMinnville, Tennessee, where we took Michael one time with the RAs at a Brainerd Baptist Church, and I got stuck in the mud called Bubblegum Alley. That mud is just a thick, sticky, yucky, miry mess, and you will get stuck in it if you do not keep moving. God says, you know what? Not with me. As you walk with me, I'm not going to let you get stuck in that old miry, muddy, yucky mess. I'm going to pull you out of it. I'm going to stretch my hand and hear your cry and take care of you. Wow, folks. Just like the Bible says completely, be willing to wait patiently on God. Trust God's action in your life, because He's going to reach down and take care of you. He's going to steady you, the Bible says. I love the translation of the Holman Christian Standard. He's going to set you up on a rock. He's going to make sure your feet are planted. And notice, all of this is God's action. He's going to take care of you. He's going to establish you. I love the word established, set in the Hebrew. It's the word koon, K-O-O-N. It means to be established. It means to be prepared. It means to be made ready. It means to be made fixed. And you know, in this time, in the 21st century, I'm glad God is the one, Doug, that fixes me. You hear me say it all the time. God will see to it. Here it is. God will see to it. Wow. I remember Claude Francisco at Southern Seminary back in the 70s. Good old Dr. Fran. Never forget him as long as I live. He stood up in a classroom one day and he said, somebody come stand up and explain to me saving faith. Well, all of us, there were about 150 in that classroom, we figured while we're there, we knew what saving faith was. So one guy in the back raised his hand. Dr. Francisco called him by name. He stood up and I thought he gave a very good theological and biblical answer of what saving faith is. Dr. Francisco said, sir, are you finished? Good old friend. And had him sit down. And he looked at us and said, guys, don't you ever forget this statement. He said, saving faith is believing and knowing that God is in control even when all the circumstances point to the fact that He's not. Trust God's action. Even when everything around you, even when this world is falling apart, even when we don't know from one day to the next, God says, I will not let you go. He's going to pull you out of that dark, deep pit. He's going to set you up on a level ground, and He's going to make sure you're able to walk. And He says, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. Then there's the fourth thing if you want to have victory for your troubled heart. It's found in verse 3. Listen, it says, He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Verse 3 of chapter 40. What's number 4? Simply, sing a new song, because God's going to give you a new song. The Hebrews knew exactly what David was talking about. He said the people who obeyed the Lord and followed God's word would sing a fresh a brand new song. This word is also used of repaired or renewed cities. What's God saying? It's God that's going to place that song on your renewed and repaired and your old troubled heart. So folks, no matter how troubled your heart can be, He's promised a new song. And God says, I'm going to put that song there. God's action, remember? I love the words of Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Just listen. His anger is just for a moment, for favor is for life. You'll recognize the last part. We've written a song under this title. He says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy is going to come in the morning. Wow. In order to experience victory for the troubled heart, we've got to make prayer our priority. Second, we must be willing to wait patiently for God. Then as we wait, we are commanded to trust God for His action and His timing, because He will take care of it as you trust His heart. And then the Bible says if we must sing a new song, because it's God that's going to put that new song on our heart. And the fifth and final thing, if you're going to have victory for a troubled heart, no matter what you face in this world, is found in the last part of verse 3. He says, many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Now back up with me one line to the beginning of that verse. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Did you hear that? God has put a new song. And Doug, God's given us the title of that song. There it is. You know what the title of the song is? It says it in the Hebrew. When you look at it in the original language, it says this. He has put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. That's what it says in the Hebrew. God's titled the song. What's hallelujah mean? Praise be to God. Wow. I love Psalm 150. Look at this, folks. How else do you describe how to praise God? Well, the psalmist David did. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Yes, even praise Him with clashing cymbals. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. And then the psalmist closes those verses by saying, hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Amen. Five things. Make prayer your priority. Be willing to wait patiently on God. Trust God for His actions. Sing a new song. And don't forget, you praise God. He's the one that's giving you the victory. Corrie ten Boom, that I talked about a minute ago, was placed in a Nazi concentration camp along with her sister and her father. They were committed Christians, and their crime, quote-unquote, had been hiding the Jewish people in their home and trying to protect them from the Nazi genocide against all Jews in Hitler's Reich. Both Corey's father and sister died, and Corey, you remember, went through incredible suffering during that time, but she survived and spent the rest of her life traveling around the world as a self-described, you remember, she called herself the tramp for the Lord. Oftentimes in the midst of facing hell itself, in the midst of a German concentration camp, she coined a phrase, that phrase that I shared with you a minute ago, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. And when Corey was a little girl, she was reading a story about martyrs for the Christian faith. And she was trying to process what these saints of God had endured for the sake of Christ. And she said to her father, she said, Dad, I am afraid that I will never be strong enough to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. Tell me, said her wise father, when you take a train trip to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money for the ticket? 3 weeks before? Corey says, no, Dad. You give me the money for the ticket just before we get on the train. That's right, he replied. And so it is with God's strength. Our Father in heaven knows when you will need the strength to be a martyr for Jesus. He will supply all you need just in time. He'll bring you victory. You know, as it turned out, God never required Corey to die as a martyr. But she did suffer. And God always gave her the strength that she needed, just as her father had told her. In the midst of her troubled, hurting heart, God always gave her the victory. You do these five things straight from the Word of God, and God says, you be faithful to Him, and I will give you victory for your troubled heart. I'll stake my life on it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. I know I'm not alone in this house today. We all experience troubled hearts. Some things, Lord Jesus, in this life and the events of this past week, we can't figure out. We don't understand. We don't have an answer to why, but we know God's in control. Thank you for the victory, Lord, despite the circumstances. May our faith be stronger than it's ever been. And may our eyes be fixed on you as we serve you, Lord, in these troubled days of the 21st century. I pray for all of us in here. I pray for this nation, Lord Jesus. I pray for our president and those that work alongside of him. Lord Jesus, thank you for once again reminding us today that you are sovereign God of this universe and you will see to it no matter what. I love you, Father. And I love these people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege to preach your word. And by chance, Lord Jesus, if today be the last time I ever preach your word, then so be it, Father. It's been delivered exactly how I believe you want it. Thank you, Father, for using Doug and me and all of our staff here and this church as we share your word with this community. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love one another in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Would you stand to your feet? This becomes our altar. Daniel's going to join me down here. And let's sing this together, this little chorus, Lead Me, Lord.
Doug? Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called.